is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy, all turning on interest rates and central bankers, except there are new considerations outside of the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England and the European Central Bank. That has to do with the American debt limit. And I welcome Liz Peek, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, to interpret an extremely complex headline I get from Bloomberg that I went, I better get my pencils out and start calculating. Debt limit fight. Risks early end to Fed quantitative tightening. Before I go any farther, Liz, a very good day to you. Fed quantitative tightening. I forget what that means. Help me understand this headline. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Actually, it is the part of the tightening cycle that is getting the least attention, John, and is probably the most important. As you may have remembered, during COVID shutdown and after, in the aftermath, as the Fed was trying to boost the economy, the Fed bought trillions of dollars worth of bonds, including mortgage-backed bonds, to basically put money out into the economy. Their balance sheets swelled from, I'm guessing it was $2 or $3 trillion in the beginning to around $7 or $8. It was an unprecedented intervention by the Fed, which had nothing to do with interest rates, although, of course, it did ultimately have a lot to do with interest rates in terms of there being so much money available that interest rates, it helped interest rates go down. Now we are on the other side of that. And so one of the intriguing things is everyone is focused on what is the Fed going to do next week in terms of interest rate increases. My guess is they probably will go with a 25 basis point hike. I think 50 at this point would be considered overly severe. It could happen. And by the way, the market will sell off if it does. But the Fed has signaled, a number of Fed officials have signaled that they feel that there's enough of a decline in the inflation rate to warrant a further stepping back from interest rate increases. But again, the more intriguing thing is what is going on in terms of the balance sheet. They don't talk about that as much, and I don't know what their plans are for that, obviously. But what the sort of big question mark about the economy right now is probably not the consumer, not what businesses are doing, but again, what the Fed is doing in terms of the money supply, because according to some reports, the money supply has declined at an unprecedented rate. That is the word that's being used by one of our sort of more prominent economists. And, that I think, and remember that all these changes in money supply and interest rates take a year, sometimes 2 years, to show up in terms of economic growth. So I think it's fair to say that with M2, one definition of money supply declining year over year, which according to some last month was, this week was the biggest contraction in 85 years. Now that may be a blip, but that's what's happening. Huge decline in the money supply. You could argue that maybe the recession isn't going to show up this quarter or next quarter, but boy, it's sure going to show up down the road. And I think that is, the market is kind of ignoring that possibility. I personally think we are slowing. We're seeing manufacturing sliding. The most recent PMI was pretty bad. Housing hasn't collapsed because, after all, there's not much supply available, but it isn't. It's certainly down. And also retail spending slightly down. And I think elsewhere we're also seeing some increase in layoffs, announcements of layoffs. To your point, in tech, you're really seeing lots of people losing their jobs right now, but that could spread out into the economy as demand weakens. So we're just at the cusp, really, of this downturn. And the issue before investors, I think at this point, yes, it's what the Fed is going to do, but even more, how are companies going to respond? How is the consumer going to respond if they become nervous about job growth and they just begin to pull in their horns? I mean, we've seen consumer credit card debt going up. That's pretty. That's a pretty good forebearer of what the consumer is going to be doing. And I think we're going to see a slowdown even more in retail spending. So I think the economy is slowing. I think it's visible. it could get worse before it gets better.
Liz, the money supply decelerating at an alarming rate, or an exciting rate, 85 years. Doesn't that mean the Fed's done its job? Does that suggest that they've overdone it already and they're going to have to reverse course?
Well, that's a question. And I think some people feel the Fed has overdone it. But then really, John, it's the flip side of having goosed the economy too aggressively early on. I mean, when you pile up that huge balance sheet and you decide that things have to go back to normal, you have to unpile that balance sheet. And that that involves a pretty draconian pivot. And that's what we've seen. Again, the follow-on effect from that, let's see, when did that begin? Really last summer, right?
Yes.
By this summer, we'll see just how much of an impact that has, but it could continue off into the end of the year. So again, that's a pretty solid reason for the Fed being more gentle in its interest rate increases, because in fact, the economy is slowing already. But we don't really know whether their quantitative tightening is going to keep pace, or whether they will make as much of a change in that, in how they're managing their balance sheet, as they are in interest rates.
All this to explain the very complicated headline, early end to Fed quantitative tightening. However, I want to come to something you've been talking about for weeks, Liz, because I see it now prominently in remarks when the Wall Street Journal or the Financial Times asks some experienced trader what's going on. Eventually, I see someone refer to the Fed's target of 2%. They don't say unrealistic. They say unlikely. Fine. But then suddenly this new target of 4% emerges, something you mentioned before Christmas, before the holidays. I hear that talk, and I also hear a talk that the Fed is going to move February and March, quarter point each, and then quit, maybe even reverse course later in the year. Now, this could all be the bull case to sell me another bunch of shares of Tesla, or it could be the market suddenly realizing that the recession is not at hand, that, as you say, it might be in the future, or maybe not at all. So how to interpret this raising of the target to 4% chatter, and at the same time, maybe the Fed's going to quit? Is that just chatter by the bulls?
Well, I think what we've heard from Jay Powell is their insistence that they stay the course, that they consider inflation their number one objective right now, because still, even with layoffs increasing, the jobs market is relatively strong. So I think that Jay Powell's made it pretty clear that he's going to keep his foot on the brake. To kind of to your point earlier, it's conceivable that the economic readings are going to get so much worse so much quickly that they can reverse gear later in the year. Nobody really knows how all this is going to play out, because as we've discussed before, China is a big variable here. And I see all kinds of predictions about China. Most people think that it's going to be accelerating somewhat, and that's good for our economic growth. But politically, John, we know that Jay Powell is sensitive, let's say, to political happenings. Clearly, the administration does not want to be, Democrats don't want to be going into an election year in the midst of a bad recession. So I think what is the easiest thing for Jay Powell to do at some point in the next 3 or 4 months, if inflation stays around 3-4%, which I think it's likely to get to, we'll see what the wage inflation numbers look like, but that's a big question mark. But if inflation kind of stubbornly won't go lower, yes, I think they will change their target. Maybe not officially, but they will determine that it is in the best interest of the country and wage earners and so forth to not stick to an artificial target when they don't need to. I mean, there's not any particular reason to. But I think all of that gets kind of tied up in politics.
A macro question, Liz. Is this the pandemic in some fashion? Are we seeing why this word unprecedented is used for all these statistics? Is this all because of the pandemic, or quite indifferent to the pandemic?
I think that's exactly right. I think that the response to the shutdown of the economy was, yes, historic and unprecedented, but also the shutdown of the economy was unprecedented, John. And it wasn't here. It was global. Never, ever has the entire world responded to an emergency situation by closing businesses, closing schools, telling people to stay at home. This was a one-off. And I think what we've seen is that central banks stepped in with historic, unprecedented measures, and now they have to go back to normal. That, you know, probably in retrospect, none of us paid enough attention to how that road would be pretty bumpy. The return to normal, you know, is not something that has ever been traversed before. And I think we're seeing that it has a lot of unexpected pitfalls. But anyway, we are on the road back to normal. In some ways, I would argue the economy has really shown tremendous resilience. The consumer, heaven knows, because of the huge wash of money that the federal government spewed out, the consumer's been in pretty good shape. That too, of course, has to reverse. And it's happening with reluctance. Democrats in particular, who've been in charge right now in the last 2 years, don't want to reverse the spigot of money. They never do. And so that probably makes the road back a little harder because, you know, I think we're going to see that with the debt ceiling. People are alarmed by the fact that we have $31.4 trillion in debt right now. And we have got to shut off the spigots of federal spending.
Liz Peek, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, commenting on the U.S. economy and the global economy here in the winter, the mild winter of 2023, mild in the U.S., mild in Europe. Also unprecedented to have a Europe that is not now shivering and dark and unable to pay its electricity bills, despite the unprecedented fact that Russia has cut off its natural gas and Europe has made certain that it is very difficult to buy Russian oil. Unprecedented. We're going to turn to something that has lots of precedent. This is the year that the parties choose their presidential candidate for 24. It's a fun game. We'll play it when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.